Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Created for Good Works Wednesday episode. We have a man in the studio with us today named Jeff Hall. He is going to be talking to us about Lion's Share Life. We're going to jump into that conversation with him in a moment after inspiration.
Inspiration today is called Set Apart. In November 1742, a riot broke out in Staffordshire, England, to protest against the gospel message Charles Wesley was preaching. It seems Charles and his brother John were changing some long-standing church traditions, and that was too much for many of the townsfolk. When John Wesley heard about the riot, he hurried to Staffordshire to help his brother. Soon, an unruly crowd surrounded the place where John was staying. Courageously, he met face to face with their leaders, speaking with them so serenely that one by one their anger was set aside. Wesley's gentle and quiet spirit calmed an angry mob, but it wasn't a gentleness that occurred naturally in his heart. Rather, it was the heart of the Savior whom Wesley followed so closely. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This yoke of gentleness became the true power behind the Apostle Paul's challenge to us. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with love one another. In our humanness, such patience is impossible for us. But the fruit of the Spirit in us, the gentleness of the heart of Christ, can set us apart and equip us to face a hostile world. When we do, we fulfill Paul's words, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Heavenly Father, remind us that Jesus displayed a heart of gentleness and compassion to even his adversaries. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm at a lack of words just at this moment.
Just want to tell you.
I'm thinking
right there.
Gentleness, you know, this thing that we've forgotten in masculinity, the gentleness of man, kind of like strength through power, right? You got the power to be gentle. You don't have to take action because you're strong enough. You have faith in God. You have God behind you, so you can just go out and do the right thing. And I think we're going to be talking about that a little bit today with Lion's Share Life and founder Jeff Hall in the studio with us today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate you guys.
Well, I appreciate you coming in because now you're going to have to basically give your testimony of how you did this Lion's Share Life deal with the audience. You know, who's Jeff Hall? What have you done with your life that led up to Lion's Share Life?
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for asking. I was just telling Tim that I'm third generation Navy, the son of a sailor, like Jimmy Buffett would sing. You know, I grew up and just traveled around the world, literally following my dad around, him in the Navy. At 20 years old, I hit the end of my rope. They say that's God's address, the end of our rope. And that's where I found him, on the side of the road in Tennessee in a broken down VW van. And I said, "God, if you're even real, you'll help me." And right there on the spot, he absolutely transformed my life. And I was out of moves and plays at that point. So I was joining the Navy myself, which I didn't really want to. But it ended up being the best. I didn't know how motivated I was until I got into boot camp and ended up being highly motivated, I found out. It was really, really good. But I could tell stories for days about the supernatural things God did. And a young man just opened to him and what he wants to do. And then literally traveled the world, met the love of my life, and just have had this a very challenging natural life, but just elevating all these things with a supernatural love of God.
Well, sometimes it can be that soothing, soft voice that gives us urging, and sometimes it's a drill sergeant.
Come on.
So you had both experiences, it sounds like.
Yes, sir. I'm a coach by trade. I'm just an encourager. And like you, Tim, I love to help people come to understanding through communication, whether that's asking questions or teaching or talking and sharing stories. I can tell stories for days. But that's the idea, too. I owned a CrossFit for years. And to be a good coach, you had to be somewhere between Mickey Mouse and a drill instructor. And you sort of need to find out what each person was receptive.
Sometimes they just needed to laugh. They needed to let it out before they could do what they needed to do. Maybe
before they
just
cried,
needed
yes.
A little bit of encouragement. And, you know, thinking about a situation maybe on the side of the road in a VW van, challenging the existence of God, sometimes we have to be broken for Christ, and being broken for Christ becomes being broken for us in the flesh as well, because we have to find out, why are we here? What, do I have a purpose? What's my purpose? It can't be just toiling around, digging through the dirt, hoping I find something to eat.
Come on, Tim. That's where it's at. And that in Lion's Share Life, I was simply watching a, you know, planet animal show, and this hardworking mama lion, and she got her prey. She got a gazelle, and she'd secured it. She killed it, and her little cub came up alongside her, and she's looking around to protect her, what she earned her life now, and to take care of her little family. And then they showed up, one of them, 10 of them, then 20 of them. And they were all surrounding her, and the vultures came from all over. And so they were all trying to get her away from the prey. And so she took the bait, ran away, and by the time she looked back, the prey was covered in vultures. She couldn't get back to it. She lost her life with 1,000 little vultures. And so I see that as a metaphor for us today, is that God has created us for good works. There is such incredible value and meaning and purpose. And generically, even, it's we are, you know, eternal beings created for God's pleasure in his amazing universe. It's just the most wonderful thing. And yet we get distracted, we get bitter, and we are learning, where hopefully we can learn that God has so much more for us. You know, Tim, you and Shannon do so much work in here, and you're a perfect example of what I'm talking about exactly. I mean, here you are, you're serving your family, you're working full time and then some, and I mean, you're serving in so many capacities for your community. And then on top of that, you come in here at the end of your long weeks, or at the end of your long, you know, not so much vacation, yeah. And you continue to serve, to help, and to take look out for your viewers. And if people were to recognize that God had something amazing for their lives, and they would start just stepping into that. And right now, for so many of us, it's just something simple. It's just like looking out for that family member, looking out for that neighbor. And then you'll find something opens up in you, and something opens up with them. And then those who are faithful with little shall be made faithful with much.
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, it can be just a small thing. And a lot of times it's a path God takes you down, and you don't even realize you had that talent or you had that ability. And what I've found with the radio is I want to get information out. And a lot of times that information's coming from interviews, like interviews with you, where you might say something that touches somebody's life out there that we'll never know. We're just here. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We woke up this morning to do the right thing, and we're just looking for that next right thing we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes I'm trying to help someone figure out their truth. Now, it's not their truth the way we talk about it in pop culture today, like everybody has their own truth. No, we need to figure out from our perspective, are we seeking the right truth? Are we going to let the vultures distract us, like in your story? Are we going to let, you know, Netflix and the next favorite show be that thing that captures us every day after work, or captures our family, instead of saying, wait a minute, I saw a neighbor in need that I could skip just the commercials of some of the shows I watch to do the right thing, and I could make a world of difference just in my own little community?
I think our goal is really to go back and make it about what is right, not who is right. And it's something we talk about a lot on this show, is there's always that bottom line. It isn't Netflix that's right. It's not Facebook that's right. It's not, you know, we know everything on the internet's not true, but it's not about who is right. It's about what is right, bottom line.
That's right. Well, and you know, we talk about a lot of issues on this show, and of course, we all have a lot of issues. So we have to look past those issues to find out what the issue is that God has in store for us beyond the vultures, the distractions, the culture issues that we battle. And so Lion's Share is working on a lot of that stuff. So you can go to Lion's Share, that's LIONS. Make sure you get the S in there. It's lionsharelife.com. Look into Jeff's community here, community consultant, and also a personal journey coach. So you're doing a number of things here, it looks like, not just telling people what they should do. You're also looking to help people find their truth. And it's not their truth that they want to perceive, but the truth about what God has for them.
It starts with a simple reality, and we talk about truth, and that's where everyone gets a little hung up. And there's a simple definition for it, and it might take some work to get your head around it, but it's simply this: truth is that which is consistent with reality. Now, because we all have different experiences, we might say, well, that's your truth, that's my truth. But there is an objective reality beyond our experience, because we're very small, finite individuals, very limited perspectives. And so the sooner we can attach our lives to that objective reality, that which is consistent with the reality, we do a lot better. I mean, we're freed up when we find that truth. We're jammed up when we're caught up in our head in this little circular thing. We get in our little vacuums.
The hamster wheel.
For real.
Well, the injury we wind up with might be the same, but if we all attempted to run without moving our feet, the result is still truly not good.
No, sir.
We're going to fall on our face every time.
Well, I'm noticing in life right now, as we see all the problems in our world, and I'm very, very confident that we could see a lot of solutions to these problems, especially the ones closest to our own lives. We want to sit back and commentate on the whole world, but that's out of our realm of influence. So if we could first stop and be faithful with a few good words and acts of genuine thoughtfulness. And there's another one. We're going to talk about truth and we'll talk about love. But love also, we make it complicated. I was like 38 when I learned what love was. And it's like, oh, that's a thing. Yeah, love is simply this. It's committed to the best interest of the one beloved. That might be looking like at the end of your vacation up at 2 a.m. working on your mother-in-law's car or taking her then to the hospital because she's up past hours. But that is love, and it's hard.
Well, I didn't realize that either. Sometimes I guess I was raised by some of the right people, and I just thought some of those, you just do that. Because, you know, if your neighbor's disabled, you know they're having a hard time getting around, you just take their garbage out. It's just, you're just helping your neighbor. That actually is love. And it's explained biblically, loving thy neighbor. And it was amazing because I never even asked him how he voted in the last election, but I just took his garbage. But those are the little things that we take, those little baby steps, and you can make a big difference in someone's life, or they make a big difference in yours.
Most importantly.
Well, we're responsible for our contribution to those relationships. And as we're faithful with that, then we can and will be the influence. But as far as lions share life, there's a simple question I would ask my neighbors and friends and people in the community I'd run across. And it was something that Jesus asked. And it's actually the gospel. And now we have this Paul gospel, and Jesus died on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. But Jesus, what was the gospel that Jesus preached? It's really very simple. It's in 2 of the 4 gospels verbatim. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that sounds a little repent. That's like religious and heavy-handed. But actually, he was simply asking them, it says, reconsider your strategy for life. Why? Because the kingdom is right here, right now, available for you to step into and live a different kind of life. And that's the journey that we can discover. Right now, I'm teaching at a school, and we're memorizing Psalm 23, something classic, something beautiful, something we all know about, one of the greatest pieces of biblical literature, or literature period. And yet there's a simple invitation in the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to do this life by myself. You know, I have his help. And as soon as I want to participate with that and continue in with that, I mean, a relationship just is to know something. We've talked about truth, that which is consistent with the reality. We're talking about love, committed to the best interest of the one beloved. But what is it? What do we know? What do we truly know? Do we know God, or do we just say we do? Well, knowledge is simply this. It's an interactive relationship with the subject or object. You don't know it unless you have an interactive relationship with it. You had an interactive relationship with the car this morning. Yeah. You had an interactive relationship with the community service training this weekend. And you know some things now. You've been touched and transformed by that knowledge. And I promise you, my friends, that if you come to know and have an interactive relationship with God, he's the big game changer. He made you. He knows what you need. He knows your very longings in your heart. And I'm sorry. I understand. I feel you. I get frustrated. I feel alone. I feel desperate and discouraged. It's usually when I'm not lined up with who made me and his purposes for my life.
Yeah, because we can't really do anything alone. We do things as whole communities, and that community falls into chaos if it forgets who created it. We got to flip over the coin and remember, in God we trust. I'm going to bring that up after the break. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back again. Jeff Hall, Lion Share Life. That's lionssharelife.com. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Right Spokane Perspective on this Created for Good Works Wednesday episode. Again, we're in the studio with Jeff Hall, Lions Share Life. You know, we were going off into the break and we're talking about the Creator. We're talking about being in line with our purposes and trying to not be distracted by the vultures. And I remember this meme going around, which actually is totally true. And you look at a quarter from just a little while ago, and we had, was it George Washington on the quarter? And he's looking at the words, "In God We Trust." You look at the quarters that were produced last year or the year before, and he's faced away from the words, "In God We Trust." I wonder if our money is a symbol of what has happened to us as a country. Why are we in chaos? Why does nothing make sense? Maybe we've turned away from our purpose.
But I have a twist on that. So I was thinking on that this morning. And maybe, just maybe, the reason why that is coming out now is because the Lord said, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's." I don't believe that our Lord created money. Our Lord said we were going to have everything we needed. I believe that the reason why that's coming out now is because the head is turned away from "In God We Trust," because it's not God's money.
Right. Well, we got to trust in God for our sustenance. And money's just a form of trade. It's how we interact in a financial manner. I think we're in a real dangerous place where we turn away from God. God turns away from us. Now, we still, as we went off into the break, Jeff Hall brought it up, we can repent. We can ask God to heal our nation, but he's not going to do it unless we repent and change our wicked ways. And some of those wicked ways can be very simple. You don't have to, you know, like, oh, that guy down the street, the drug addict, the whole, you know, you think about this horrible thing. Maybe your sin is too many snacks, which, by the way, is probably not going to be good for your cardiac system. But also, you're not out there helping your neighbor. You don't get up and take the trash out for the wife. You just sit there and watch your favorite TV show. Maybe that's the big stumbling block, or maybe it's something else. But it's different for all of us.
Yeah, and repentance can be considered just thinking, well, technically in the Greek, it's thinking about your thinking. And it's easy to start thinking the wrong way about things. The invitation for us all is to consider the strategy for our life. Think about how we're doing it. Most of us are just living the existence, showing up, and we might not be becoming who we're intended to become. So we do well to think about the strategy for our life and considering why, because the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, available for us to step into. And that's when the power starts happening. Yeah, when we invite God into our life, then things change.
Well, and it's tough. Going back to the inspiration of the beginning of the show, it's really difficult when you're in the storm of life and you don't think there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You don't see the rainbow. Of course, there's no Lucky Charms unless you got milk. So there's the land of milk and honey. You got to have all of it. Anyway, just all the joking aside.
Look for the good.
Well, you got to look for the good, but it's hard when you're in those tough times. And one of the things that we have to do is look out for that other person that's in the tough times, like Jeff Hall wants to do with Lion's Share Life, where somebody that's in the middle of that storm, there's somebody else that can point them in the direction of where the rainbow is going to be in the sunshine in life so that they can move on out of that storm and produce things. What am I doing to hold myself back? Because that's our biggest enemy is not the Chinese Communist Party. Our biggest enemy is not a political party. Our biggest enemy, because we're not going to solve the world's problems, like Jeff said. First, we have to solve our own. If we can solve our own, then we can help our neighbor. We can help our neighbor's kids. We can help our kids. And then all of those solutions start coming easier because you're not caught in your own life storm.
And their own the life storms are very real things, and we can totally lose sight. And the psalm goes on to say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death."
That's, you know, life storm right
and
there.
And the shadow is just the thing that blocks the light. And God does want to shine life in your heart and through your life. And I mean, when we say to God's glory, glory just means that. It means glow. It means shining. And we want to let God shine and shine in and through our lives. And that's what we have the opportunity. And that's a life worth living. You know, but we forget it starts with who are you. You know, I have a close family member, and he was a high-ranking enlisted member in the Navy. And later in his career, he's just sort of snapped one day. It was unexpected. No one saw it happen. And they came and took all the guns out of the house just because he wasn't well, just laying on the floor crying, petting his dog. And so afterwards, you know, he was fine, and he had to go see a psychiatrist. And it's ironic that he was a sailor, because the psychiatrist looked him in the eyes and says, "Who are you?" And his response was almost humorous. He says, "I am who I am. I am what I am." And the psychiatrist, you know, wrote on his book. But I think that's really a cop-out. Of course we are what we are. I don't think that's such a great answer. I think we are something very unique, very special, and only God knows what that is, and he's wanting to reveal it to us. And we discover that by taking steps of faith and steps of trust and steps of love in our sphere of influence, and then life starts moving forward. It's going down and backwards, and we're lost and alone when we do not take hold of who we are, who God's made us, and what he's made us for.
Yeah, because
exciting journey.
It is. Well, and that story you were telling me, I was thinking of a can of spinach.
Yeah.
Because there was a guy.
I am what I am,
you know, Popeye the Sailor Man, right? And a can of spinach, and he was losing. It seemed like every show I remember he was in, he was losing it. He was weak. And his scrawny girlfriend said, "What's wrong with you?"
"Oh, Popeye."
Yeah. He eats the can of spinach. And then all of a sudden he's got all these muscles and strength to get through whatever the thing on the show was that day.
But I think
that God's our spinach, you know, because you're not going to talk us into eating spinach. That's just probably not going to happen. Maybe in salad.
But thanks for the backstory, because probably many people don't remember that. Yeah, I am what I am. Who are you? Who am I? And am I about it? Am I stepping into my God-given destiny? And if I'm not, that's probably where a lot of my depression, discouragement, and lack of vision and hope comes from. As soon as we lose that vision, it says, without vision, the people perish. And as soon as you lose your hope, that's when you start going down. And so let's get a good view of who we are. And that starts with who he is and what he says about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we should be identifying in how Christ sees us instead of I am who I am.
Yeah.
We have to see.
Everybody is who they are.
Yeah, we are who we are. But who are we in him, right? But also, you know, I'm thinking about all these dynamics. I talk about a lot of negative things on this show from time to time. And we're seeing this loss of hope. You know, the inspiration was really interesting coming into this, because there's a debilitating loss of hope in this country right now. Highest suicide rates, highest, fatherless homes, even mothers addicted to drugs, children in the foster care system, no parents to stand by them at all. And we don't want our neighbors, our family members, people caught up in that. And so you're doing Lion's Share Life, because you're looking at what's in my way? What's blinding me? This valley of shadow of death. What is the shadow that's over an individual's life? Or do you work with companies? What's the shadow over a company's life? So tell us kind of what your service is, what you're looking to do in helping people find themselves, their abilities, their blockages.
And that's the key. That's the focus, is helping people recognize who they are. And that works in organizations as well. I do Envision Strengths as well. I'm a Gallup Strength Finders coach, and Gallup has done a great 90 years worth of work in human behavior and studying human behavior. And we measure and study the obvious things, but we don't always measure the important things. And so when we look at our employees, and we look at our organizations, and we look at the personnel, are they living out who they are meant to? Are they just doing a job? Are they just showing up and pushing buttons? Are they living out the best person that they are meant to be? And so that's Envision Strengths. Lion's Share Life is to help people. We all need a coach. It's so funny to me. In high school, or if you ever did sports, you had a coach. They helped you through this process of swinging a bat or catching a ball, and you needed their help, and they got you further along in life than you would have on your own. Mm-hmm. And so at what point, I think anyone and everyone that's had a good step forward has had some kind of coach or mentor or parent.
Well,
or
they're just
going
to explain it. They're sitting there on the sidelines. Keep your gloves up, you know, or baseball, get your elbow up, you know.
I would love it if someone had told me, keep my head up, keep my eyes up, keep my focus, you know, hold me accountable. You're doing that again. I was working out with my son in our little gym, and he was doing these deep squats. And every time he'd come up, he'd look to the left. And I said, don't look to the left when you come up. You got to keep everything in alignment. And he'd do it again. And I said, do you realize you're turning your head to the left? And he's like, no. And I said, okay, stare at this. And it's a simple little thing, but a coming in and coaching. And it's the same with us in our life. And we're getting up. We're going to have a great day. We've got a good plan. And then we look to the left. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Yeah,
we could probably just as well look to the right and get off course. And so who is that person in our head and in our heart or in our life? Hey, how did it go today? Hey, did you follow through on what you said you were going to do? On the way here, I was talking to my best friend, and I said, he hasn't been moving in weeks and months. I said, you need to go walk those steps outside your house right now. Go out. Just when you get off the phone, go walk those steps. And just, I cannot help let people continue to operate in latent potential. There, the potential transformation we could create in the world around us is we can't begin to imagine until we start to step into it. And we'll be surprised and we'll be very encouraged as soon as we start helping people.
And I think that's really important. One of the things that I came across this week was a quote. It says, your purpose is not the thing you do. It's the thing that happens to others when you do what you do.
Come on. That's like legit.
How deep is that? It is important for me to know who I am as a daughter of the Lord. It's really important for me to know who I am. More importantly, when I am operating in the gifts that He has given me, it is so beautiful to see how it affects other people. My purpose isn't for me. My purpose is to affect other people.
Well, in the effects are known. This is, you talked about Gallup polls. You know, we don't have to go to global polls necessarily. I love Gallup polls. There's a lot of information out there, but just go back to competing with the Joneses. People, oh, well, you're competing with the Joneses. Well, I just can't have the worst looking yard on the block, right? So you affect people around you with how you act. Are you keeping yourself together? Are you, you know, working with the children to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do? Everything that everybody's supposed to be doing, like the quote that Shannon just said, it's when people see you do and how it impacts them when you do what you do. But if you're not doing anything, if you're letting that depression, if you're letting the demons in our culture and the life around us stop you from leaving that front door, like you said, to tell your friend, go up and down your stairs in the front yard, get out of the house, get off the couch, get away from all the media and the things that are distracting you, holding you down, and go out there. Just do something.
Well, the big deal, just like you said, Shannon, getting and doing something, and we were created for good works, that's great. And that's what we can have a lever for. That's what we can do something about. But the bigger game is who are we becoming? That's why we're put here, to be transformed into different kinds of beings. And one of the ways we become, we step into becoming by what we do. And that's whether it's what we choose to think or to say or to act out upon. And again, I got to just say it, Tim, Shannon, I'm really encouraged. Tim, you're great at talking. You can carry a wonderful conversation, go a lot of places. Shannon, you've certainly got the radio voice. You sound great on the radio here, in my headphones anyway. And you guys, I mean, really, I'm just super encouraged. And in Lion's Share Life, we go through a framework of life. And I see you guys knocking it out of the park. I see you in Ephesians 4, the first part talks about unity. And it talks about unity with God, unity in our family, and unity as part of a community. And if things aren't right with God, we're going to be jammed up. And if things aren't right in our family, we're going to be physically, mentally, emotionally, socially disabled.
Well, you brought up Ephesians. That's one of my favorite books and one of my favorite verses, 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. Battle's not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, and evil in this world. And sometimes the flesh that we're battling is our own. Yeah. Got to get ourselves out of the way first.
Yes, sir.
And Lion's Share is looking to help you do that. And, you know, you can work for a company or you can have a company provide healthcare coverage. But you know what? Healthcare insurance, just getting the antidepressants, doesn't solve it. Having the assurance of your foundations in Christ and your purpose is how you move past some of those biggest things that no insurance policy can ever cover. I want to thank Jeff Hall again for coming in. Again, it's Lion's Share Life, lionsharelife.com. All that being said, folks, we'll be with you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.